13 and 14. If you are there, please shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, then, so let's go and read together. One to go. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I title today's message, Look Ahead, Be Ahead, and Stay Ahead. Look ahead, be ahead, and stay ahead. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for your word today. Holy Spirit, I surrender under your divine intelligence. Take hold with me to declare the message that God has for the people. Thank you, because that message is already empowered. And I thank you that every ear that will hear and every heart will understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying expressly to the people of God, because I know your presence is here, Spirit of God. And where you are, there is liberty to receive and liberty to have what God has ordained for us to have. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are a few things I want you to note down. If you have your pen and your biro, or you want to write on your phone, I want you to gear yourself up right now, because there are some truths that I'm going to reveal to you today. You need to hold on to these truths and let it really be your benchmark as you go ahead on your walk with God. Amen. First thing that I'm going to say to you people of God today is that when you understand who and whose you are from God's perspective, when you truly understand who you are or whose you are from God's perspective, you will never settle for less than God's best for your life. Did you catch that? When you know who you are, when you know whose you are from God's perspective, not from man's perspective, but from God's viewpoint, you will never in your life, you will never in any circumstance that you are faced with settle for less than God's best for you. You will never allow man to share the glory of God in your life. You will not give the praises that belongs to God to graven images. And mammon will never deserve your worship. Mammon will never deserve your worship. These are eternal truths. They are not open to suggestion. They are not open to discussions. Receive it as eternal truth and let that truth liberate you from any bondage, be it spiritual, emotional, physical, or financial. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. If you desire to press forward to great things that God has for you in life, you will have to look ahead and stop looking behind you. Hallelujah. If you are to lay hold to the promises of God for your life, you have got to let the past go. Help me tell your neighbor, let the past go. Hallelujah. Looking ahead helps you to stay ahead. What does it mean to really truly look ahead? Looking ahead is beholding the promises that God has made to you. Looking ahead is trusting God that what He says He will do, He will do it. Looking ahead is believing that
where you are and all that you have experienced is not all that God has for you. That there is more to you than your past has revealed. If you believe that your better days are ahead of you, you will have no reason to look back. In fact, you will do everything to lay hold on the future. Because you know that the future is brighter than what the past has revealed to you. Hallelujah. Life never promised anybody that everything will be in order. And I'm sure as you're seated here today, you will agree with me, for as long as you have lived, that there are things that you yourself, by your own effort, that you have put in, expect that certain things will be in order. There are some things that you yourself, from your own effort, from understanding, knowledge, intellect, and everything, have worked out and you felt this ought to be the result, except that it fell short. Hallelujah. Sometimes you have tried to do some things. You have tried to encourage some people. You've tried to pray about certain things. Your loved ones. You want certain things to happen in their lives. But it just didn't add up. Because life does not hand over to you what you expect. Hallelujah. You know why? The reason is because of a truth. There are certain things in life that we are not in control of. Some people refer to themselves as, oh, I'm a control freak. You know, you like things, everything to be well organized, you know. I mean, who doesn't? Everybody wants an ideal family where everybody loves everybody, where your children are doing fine, amen? Where you want a blessing to appear in their lives and it appears when you want it, how you want it. Hello, somebody. Everybody wants that. Everybody wants to live an organized life. Everybody wants to sow and reap almost immediately. Hallelujah. Everybody wants to have an harvest of what you sow, what you plant. Good things. But if you have lived as long as I have lived, you will come to accept that things don't always work out the way that we plan it. I'm here to let you know the reason why it doesn't always work out that way. It is because we are not in control of everything. There are certain circumstances you cannot control. For example, you are not in control of the day. You pack it all up from here on earth. You are not in control. Praise the Lord. Sometimes things happen to us in life. Things you don't plan for, you didn't pray for, you didn't hope for, you didn't wish for. But they show up anyway. Why? Because we are not in control of every circumstance in our lives. There are two things in life that you and I, no man, no human being is in control of. Number one, time. No one is in control of time. Number two, change. You are not in control of change. Plus or minus your effort, there will be change. Change is a constant phenomenon. Things change. People change. Climate change. Can I hear an amen? So for me to keep looking behind at what has happened or what did not happen and dwell in it is an effort in futility.
Because you are not even in control of your past. Praise the Lord. The past is the past. There is nothing you can do about your past. Help me tell your neighbor. There is nothing you can do about it. You can't change your past. No matter how good it is, no matter how bad it is, you are not in control. It is gone. So looking ahead will help you to stay ahead. If you don't want to have an accident driving a car, you cannot be looking at your rear mirror, looking back, and then still wanting to go forward and not have an accident. It's not possible. Praise the Lord. So you do well to leave behind your painful past, every hurtful situation that you have had to experience, the discouragements that you have had to face, things that you thought would happen by this time in your life that has not happened or did not happen, things that people said about you. You do well to let it all go. You know, a lot of people are men pleasers. And it's unfortunate to be a child of God and then to be men pleaser. It just means that you really truly do not know who you are. What really do you think you can do? Hallelujah. Anything that you do to improve your own life, you do it for yourself. If you decide to change and say, this way that I'm behaving, I must change it, you do it for yourself. If you are doing it for somebody else, then you have not changed. Hallelujah. Because it is because of that person. And when the person ceases to be of any importance in your life, you revert to who you are. Hello. If you give, if you are a giver, you give for yourself. Hallelujah. If you pray for yourself, or you pray for your loved ones, or pray for others, you do it for yourself. If you pray for Nigeria and the leaders, you do it for yourself. Praise the Lord. That's very clear. The Bible says, so that we may live peaceably when we pray for all men. In all what? Honesty and godliness. So you do it for yourself. No wonder David said, judge me, O Lord, on my integrity. He knew everything he did for himself. If you choose not to steal, you do it for yourself. If you choose to forgive people, you do it for yourself. If you choose to live a disciplined life, you do it for yourself. Everything that you do has labor, and every labor has profit. In other words, there is always a reward for what you do, whether good or bad. It's only a question of time. Help me tell your neighbor, your best days are still ahead of you. I don't know what life has handed over to you, but your best days, they are still ahead. When you wake up in the morning, you ought to thank God and say, Father, I thank you for the opportunity, the gift of today. Why? Because it is an opportunity to go again, to look ahead,
Hallelujah. It's an opportunity. Anybody who slept last night and didn't wake up today is over. They don't have that hope anymore. They don't have the opportunity anymore. They do not have the gift of this day. You and I have the gift of today. We have the opportunity to make the best out of today. Hallelujah. There was a woman who had this experience, one old woman. After the experience that she had in her life, in her past, she was one of those Jews who were put in a concentration camp in those days by the Germans. And she came to a conclusion from all that she experienced. Many of you have heard the story of those Jews, how they were so persecuted. Millions of them were killed at that time because Germany rose against them. And there were many of them that were living in Europe then. And they started killing them, arresting them, both young and old, separating mothers from daughters and fathers from sons, and putting them, some of them, in gas chambers to destroy them. But this woman was one of the people that survived after the Second World War. And she came to a conclusion, powerful conclusion. And she said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Hallelujah. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future. You know, sometimes when you are trying to talk to some people and say, ah, but look ahead, there are better things. They will say, ah, how can there be better things? Don't you see what the past has revealed? Can the future be better than what the past has revealed? But this woman looked at what is ahead of her and came to a conclusion that I know who I am and I know whose I am. And because of it, my future is better than what my past has revealed. Hallelujah. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. In other words, there are things that will happen in your life. You might look at it and say, I wish I could change how it all turned out. But you do not have the opportunity to do that. So you have to come to accept the past for what it is. And then, to the God that you know, you say, Lord, I trust you. That the plans that you have for me are still plans to prosper me and not to harm me. To give me a future and a hope. And you hand your future over to him. Trusting him that it is definitely better than what your past has revealed. In our text in Philippians 3, Apostle Paul was talking. He knows what he has experienced in the past. And he came to a conclusion and said, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. He said, one thing I do. I'm not where I really want to be. And things are not in proper order. Things are not going the way that I planned, prayed, and wished that it would be like. But this one thing I do, I'm letting the past go. Hallelujah. I can't hold on to what I have experienced because I haven't any control over what had happened. Hallelujah. If it was possible to go back and to change it, I would have. But I haven't got the power to do it. Hello? When you know that you are not in a position to change something, just leave it. Hallelujah. Hand it over to God. Many people are carrying too many loads. Let me ask you this morning, which load are you carrying? Some of you are carrying a burden that you shouldn't be carrying. The burden of what your past has revealed. That's why you are bent in the spirit realm. You don't know you can be standing like this yet, but in the spirit you are like this. Jesus says, cast your burden upon me. Hallelujah. The future that I have for you, you can't go with this excess luggage. You've got to drop it. Some of us, our excess luggage is your habits. Bad habits. You need to drop them. Hello? Let's move on. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, if you want to get ahead in life, getting ahead means that there are certain things you need to leave behind. Praise the Lord. I was telling somebody some that time, what that person did to me. I can never forget it. You can't forget. I said, your heart is very big. Go. Me, I have no space. There's so much that is ahead of me. Hello. And if you are not going the direction in which I'm going, I'm willing to leave you behind. Selah. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Stop carrying dead weights. you cannot. Never. What that person. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through. I thank God for something. You are going through it. Going through is not a destination. It's just a happenstance. Glory be to Jesus. You are going through means you are on your journey somewhere. And then there's a bump on the road. You will overcome. Amen. I said you will overcome. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the living Jesus. Amen. Know that your past is something you can't control. Please open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 11. Read. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. Because my strength is made perfect in weakness. That the power of Christ may rest on me, I'm willing to leave some things behind. Glory be to Jesus. I am no longer going to carry all this excess weight with me. The grace of God is sufficient. Many a times, our actions and attitudes to what we are going through negate and frustrates the grace of God. We are supposed to embrace that grace. The grace of God is a divine enablement for you to do the things that you cannot do in your natural human sense or ability. But the grace is sufficient. Paul says, I will even glory in my infirmities. So that the power of Christ, it will be about Christ, not me. Hallelujah. Sometimes we feel like God is not listening to what we are saying. Is there anyone like that? Sometimes, you know, you just pray, you just feel that it's like God is not listening. Hello? Well, I thank God. There's at least one person here. Praise the Lord. It's like we're praying about this, praying about this, praying about this matter, praying about this. Praise the Lord. Is God really listening? Hallelujah. And then after you have tried to do all that you know to do, then you are looking and say, well, you see, I've waited on God. God is too slow. So I'm going to take the matter into my hands and use my intellectual whatever to sort things out. Well, I know something. For my few years that I've been working with God, that after you have used your intellectual whatever, you are still going to come back. You will still come back to that God and say, if you don't help me, I die. Glory. You know, sometimes God just allows us. He just allows you. You fret, you do all sorts of things, you get angry. He's such a loving father. He will just allow you. Throw your tantrums the way that you want to throw it. He doesn't hate you. Hallelujah. He still loves you in your tantrum. Because he knows you are still coming. You are exactly like your child when they are young. You beat them, you chastise them. They are still coming to you. Let somebody else beg them. They will not stop crying. It is you, the mother or the father, that smack the child. The child will still come back to you and cry. Until you now say, okay, sorry. Then you stop. Am I lying here? That's what we do with God. You try. You do everything that you know to do in your own human strength. Then you try to put everything together. Then the center won't hold. Then your eye will jar. Then you will still now go back to that same God. Hallelujah. Because it's only He that is able to do exceeding abundantly above your intellectual astuteness. Hey, glory be to Jesus. How many of you have made some permutations and it still didn't add up for you? At least I have cousins here and relations. You've made your own. You come to a point where you are at your wit's end. And then you cry to God and say, Baba God, hey. You have to do something. Thanks be unto God
that he doesn't turn us away. Praise the Lord. If he was a God that would turn his children away, Jesus would never have given that parable that he gave of the prodigal son. It's just that prodigality in us that makes us to first of all go our own way. Then you come back to God and say, I'm better with you than without you. Like the song that we need. Remember, brother, first thing before he sang the song today, he asked us the question. If you know you don't need God, please raise up your hand. And nobody did. Hallelujah. But you see, there are many situations and circumstances in our lives that we have actually raised up our hands. Because those decisions that you took by yourself, trying to avenge yourself, trying to forge ahead by yourself, calculating how you move forward, calculating how your future will be by yourself, it is a raise of your hand that you don't need God. Praise the Lord. Say, I repent, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want to give an example of this woman in the Bible who refused to let the past go. And God put her story in the Bible for you and I as an example. To see the consequences of not letting the past go. Of not leaving things that are behind to stay behind. The consequences of carrying what is behind and taking it to what is ahead. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 19, and I want us to read, where should we start from? Let's start from verse 13. Verse 13, and we will read to, well, let's read to 17 first. Verse 13, are you there? Say amen if you are there.
Amen.
Okay. Now, it's a story that we're familiar with. How many of you are familiar with Abraham and Lot? How many people are familiar with Abraham and Lot? Wonderful. Good. Now, this is a story of what happened to Lot after that he and Abraham separated their ways. Lot chose his residence in a place called Sodom, in a city called Sodom and Gomorrah. But of course, this city was so polluted by their depravity, immorality, and all vices. And God made a decision, I'm going to destroy this place completely, and all the people that are there. I'm going to destroy all of them. Let's read. Verse 13. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord had sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said,
up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in iniquity of the city. Now, I want you to note that scripture because it's very important. He said, get out of here. If you do not look ahead, what did he say will happen? You will be consumed in this iniquity. So sometimes when we decide to stay and operate based on our lustful or fleshly desires, when we choose to plateau in our bad habits, when we choose to allow the works of the flesh to continue to manifest in our lives, when we make decisions and choices based on how we feel, what we see, be careful. Because when God tells you it's time for you to move out of there and you don't, the Bible says, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity. Verse 16, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife. Those are the angels. While he lingered, the angels grabbed their hands and upon the hand of his two daughters. May God force you out of nonsense. Hallelujah. May he be merciful unto you enough to force you out of danger. Because sometimes we are so comfortable in our sin. Sin is so comfortable with us that we don't even think that you can live any other way in life. Many are comfortable in disobedience of the word of God as if God has given them the permission to modify his laws and commandments. Praise the Lord. That's what we see these days in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ. People, men modifying the commandments of God to suit themselves. This is not what God means. This is what God means. Hello. You start reading all sorts of meanings into the word of God that is even clear. It applies to them. It does not apply to me. Praise the Lord. Because God did not anticipate that I will go through this suffering I'm going through. Hello? Have we not said it many times? Even when someone is trying to counsel you to do the right thing, you are still there giving excuses of why it is not possible for you to do what that person is asking you to do. Hello? Modifying the commandments of God. Men bring modifications to God's rules and principles to suit their situation and their condition. They read the Bible upside down. If you are one of such people today, stop it. Let me tell your neighbor, Stop it now. Lest you be consumed by the iniquity of the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, escape for thy life. Look not. What's the next word? Look not. Look not behind. Hey. And he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. It's so sad, and it's a challenge of pulpiteers today. When God's own people have a belief that there are no serious consequences to their actions. It's unfortunate. Because many really believe that really there are no consequences to it. But this story tells us and explains to us that there are consequences to our actions and inactions. That if God has set a future for you, you refuse to enter into it, there are consequences. Hello? I said it last Sunday. I said, there are people whose destinies are tied to your own. You shortchange them when you do not move ahead. There are people that are waiting for your mess of today to become a message. The past that you are ashamed of, the past that was painful. There are people that are waiting to see that turn into a testimony for them to follow God. So their destiny is tied to your own discipline and obedience. They are all around you. They are all around you. So when you choose to sit down in your mess and modify God's word to suit your own self, you are delaying some people's destinies. And there are consequences to it. Hello? That's what the Bible said. I'm sure you read it along with me. Amen. Now, alas, why was Lot's wife? Because if we read further in verse 23, let me read it from verse 26 in Genesis 19, verse 26. But his wife, that's Lot's wife, looked back from behind him. And she became a pillar of salt. Now, you may ask yourself the question. Many of us have read this. Many of us had heard the phrase. It's there in the Bible. Jesus also said it. Remember Lot's wife. How many of you have heard that before? Remember Lot's wife. Why? What made her? We have read today that even the angels grabbed their hand to show the importance, the urgency, the expediency of them leaving the things that are behind and looking ahead. Yet, one of them still looked back. And what did the Bible say? Let's read it together. 23. 1 to 26. 1 to go. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. A pillar stagnated. Could not enter into the best that God has for her. Hello? Because it takes you looking ahead to be ahead and to stay ahead. Hallelujah. She became a pillar of salt. What made her to look back? Why was she holding on to the past? Looking at what was behind her and not what is ahead of her. This is important because it will help us to examine our own walk with God. And say, am I holding on to things that are behind me that is not allowing me to take delivery of the things that are ahead of me? The plans, great plans that God has for me, for my future. Are there things that I am holding on to behind me that is not allowing me to go ahead and move ahead and stay ahead? Number one, she allowed Sodom to move into her emotions. Now, we know what Sodom represents. In our days today, what will you say that Sodom and Gomorrah represent? I remember someone very close to me at one time was given an appointment in Abuja. A government appointment. And this person said, when I now saw her, I said, how is it going? How is the work, the job, blah, blah, blah. And the lady said to me, that place is Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know what to say. That's the description that I can give to it. It is Sodom and Gomorrah. And I said, to fully understand what you're saying, I must be able to relate the Sodom and Gomorrah of that time to what you experienced in that place. That is a place that is full of depravity. It's a company of godless people. People who don't fear God at all. People who just use God for their own personal gain. People who just think that, I belong to this group, I belong to this church, I'm this one. But they really do not know God. So their actions are completely different from the commandments of God. So Lot's wife allowed Sodom to move into her. This is Abraham's niece-in-law. A whole Abraham. Lot's wife. These are people of God. She allowed Sodom to move into her emotions and into her heart. And it consumed her so much. She was consumed by worldliness to the point where it rendered God's principles in her life of no effect. When you are faced with some real difficult situations in life, that's when what you really know and who you really know will be revealed. You can go to church, you can sing wonderful songs, praise the Lord. You can hear fantastic messages. You yourself can preach it. Wonderful messages. You can witness to somebody and they will give their lives to Christ. You can lay hands on the sick and then they recover. But that the case of a man, they call him Alagba. Alagba. Powerful man, Alagba. In his white cassock. Whatever he says. That's exactly how it is. Until the man was crossing the road one day and one taxi man wanted to hit him. Man won fun. And begin to rain curses on the man. He began to curse the taxi driver. Hello, Alagba. There are many Alagbas in the body of Christ. But they are completely, their heart is completely consumed and dominated by the speech and the actions and the thoughts of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. She was consumed by the excitement of pleasure. The things that are in this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. She was totally consumed by it. And you know, the danger in this, just like I've said, when you are really faced and confronted with real issues, the real you will come out then. Hello? A lady met one man, was introduced to him. By the time they said, "How do you find a man?" He said, "Please, stop calling everybody man of God. Please, let's put God aside. This man is a man. There is no God. There is no God in him." But Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, take no thought of what you will eat, what you will wear, what you will do. He said, take no thought of all those things. Your Father in heaven knows that you are in need of all these things. So do not let your heart be consumed by the need for those things for you to now forget God and that God is able to even do more than you can ever think or imagine. Praise the Lord. So she was consumed by the excitement of pleasure. Number two, there was no eagerness in her and heart for God's program for her life. No more eagerness. For God's plans and promises of God for the future, which is still ahead of her. She had no eagerness for it anymore. So she decided to be looking back and looking at what she's leaving behind. And she didn't want to leave it behind. Hallelujah. Her will to act in obedience to God's purpose was overpowered, and she was unable to let go of the past. It was overpowered by it. Because sometimes you think that, you know, you are filled, you are holy, you are, then somebody step on your toes like this, and the kind of fierce temper that will rise up, and the savage tongue that we begin to experience. They will say, do I know this person? Is this you? But is there? Why? because those things have overpowered the will of God for her life. Friends, you only stay ahead when you look ahead. That's the only way to stay ahead, is only if you look ahead. Those who stay ahead are those who look ahead. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. God's instructions to them was, number one, get out. Number two, don't look back. Number three, don't stop moving forward. Many a times God has been telling some of us, get out of that rut you are in. Get out of that company. These people are not adding. They are not enhancing your destiny. Move out of that habit that you have. But we still continue. Stop looking back at those things that you missed. The opportunities you missed. Stop looking and dwelling on who hurt you, who offended you. If you want to stay ahead, you've got to look ahead. Look beyond what has been done to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Who is the perfect person here? One person. One person said they are perfect in every way. So, they are the... He said in Christ. Trust me, we are all in Christ. But I am perfect, even though I'm still in Christ. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. I'm not a finished product. But that's where God is taking me to, and I'm willing to look ahead. Praise the Lord. That's why Paul said, I judge myself not to have apprehended. But despite that, I'm willing to move ahead. Praise the Lord. Until I get to that point of perfection. Amen. So if you want to get to that point now, you cannot afford to stay where you are and stay in the valley of discouragement, disappointment, hurt, pain. You've got to let the past go so that you can move forward. One thing I want us to note as I close, that there is no excuse for sin. There is no excuse for sin, and God does not overlook it. Please let me tell your neighbor, in case they really do not like my voice, maybe they will appreciate yours. God does not overlook sin. Help me tell your neighbor. Yeah. He does not overlook sin. God does not tolerate man's modifications of his revealed will. Don't try to modify God's word. Sometimes we delude ourselves. Catch a revelation today. God's word is very clear. He says what he means, and he means what he says. So stop excusing yourself when God is not excusing you. When his word is not excusing you. When his will is not excusing you. Stop excusing yourself. And we've said it before here, that excuse is what? Is a sin that camouflages itself in reasoning. Right from the Garden of Eden, sin was declared as sin. Praise the Lord. Excuse was declared as sin there. When Adam said, Lord, it is because of this woman, that's where I veered out of your will. God says, shut up your mouth there. Don't modify my will. My word is a revealed word. You can read it. You can see it. Praise the Lord. So if you are here, you are still making excuses that you are where you are because of what somebody did to you. You do not know who you are in Christ. You don't know whose you are at all. If that is your excuse for failing, for falling, for faltering, you are still blaming somebody. That is that person that put you there. Well, that person already has control over your life. He's already controlling you. Adam said, is this woman that you gave me? God said, no. That is not evidence in this court. Glory be to you. It was struck out. Madam lawyer, they struck it out. That case was struck out. They said, which evidence is this one? That's why I started today. Whatever you do for yourself. No man put you where you are. No woman put you where you are. You put yourself there. Life is about choices. Everybody lives the choices that they make. Your today is what? Evidence of your yesterday. Praise the Lord. And if you do not want your yesterday to bleed into your tomorrow, you have to change your present. You do not have power over the past, but you can change the present. Once you change the present, the future will take care of itself. Hallelujah. Rise on your feet. The grace of God is always available for us. Every time. Beloved, God has been speaking to me about many things in the body of Christ. You do well for yourself to make sure you are in God whole and wholeheartedly in the season that we are approaching. You cannot afford to be a sideline compromiser. You are either for God or you are against Him. Praise the Lord. Because God is going to begin to separate the wheat from the chaff, so that it will no longer be a visa that I belong to this church. I'm a title holder in this church. I'm the bishop of the church. I'm the pulpiteer there. I'm the prayer warrior in that church. God is about to separate the wheat from the chaff. For the Bible says, the Lord knoweth those that are his. Anyone that nameth the name of the Lord must depart from iniquity. You know what iniquity is? Does anybody know what iniquity is? You've heard it in the Bible. What does it mean? Sin. But it's not ordinary sin. Sin is what graduates to iniquity. Sin that constantly and continually defies the word of God and modifies the revealed word of God becomes iniquity. That was what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Because people were living like there are really no consequences. So if you're here today and God has been speaking to you, change your ways. Turn things around. Leave those things behind. Look ahead. God wants you to stay ahead. That's why. He wants us to stay ahead. Stay ahead of every trouble. He wants you to move forward. To move into what He has for you. Great things that He has for you. Those things are before you. They are not behind you. So it's time to live for God by His grace. His grace is an enablement to do what we cannot do in our own natural strength. To embrace it and not to frustrate that grace. Shall we lift up our hands before God this morning? I cannot control my past. There's nothing I can do about what had happened. But there is something I can do about what is going to happen. Praise the Lord. There's something that you can do about what your expectations are as we are even going into a new season, a new year. But you've got to let some things go. You've got to let those bad behaviors, bad habits, you've got to leave them behind. So that you can lay hold on what is ahead of you. So I want you to pray today and say, Lord, I recognize and acknowledge that I'm not in control. But I'm willing to trust my future into your hands. Because you are in control. So it's okay with me that you are in control, even when I'm not in control. Everything that is out of control in my life, I'm handing it over to you today, Lord, because you are in control. Beloved, is your life out of control? Is your emotions out of control? Are your kids out of control? Is your health out of control? Is your finances out of control? Trust God because He is in control. Cast your burdens upon Him and tell Him, Lord, help me to look ahead. So that I can stay ahead. I choose to forget every painful past of mine. I choose not to dwell on my own avoidable mistakes that I've made. I'm trusting you, Lord, to turn things around in my life and bring every part of my life under your control. Pray, ask God to bring every part of your life, body, soul, and spirit under His control. If they are out of control, God is not out of control. He is in control. Let God be in control of your life.
Jesus. Let God be in control. Let God be in control. Hallelujah.
To see Jesus.
When you know whose you are, you will know there is no point holding on to your bad habits.
You tell yourself, I need to stop deceiving people, lying and cheating, cursing people. Stop every form of immorality, every modification of God's word and commandments. If you know who you are,
to see Jesus seated upon the throne.
Tell the Lord, Father, I do not want to be like Lot's wife. I don't want to become a pillar of salt. I want to be like Paul, that forgot all the past, moving forward to the high calling. Father, move me forward to that high calling. I refuse to become a pillar of salt. Begin to pray. Pray that prayer right now. Pray it. The grace for performance is available in the house of God right now, this minute, this moment. So pray with all sincerity and intensity. Ask God, tell him you do not want to become a pillar of salt. A pillar stays in one place. It does not move ahead. It does not stay ahead. But I want to stay ahead, oh God. I want to be like Paul, pressing forward to the high calling of God in Christ. Help me, Holy Spirit, to shake off and shake out of my life whatsoever has been a burden. Beloved, pray that prayer with all sincerity of your heart. Because there are many things that are weighing you down. It's not allowing you to lay hold on the glorious future that God has for you. It's delaying you from getting to your throne. You can no longer continue to be a royalty in captivity. There's so much that is ahead of you, my sister, my brother. There's so much that is ahead of you. Don't miss out of the good things that God has for you. The great things that he has promised to accomplish through your life. But you must leave behind every compromises that you are in. You cannot take it along with you. The hurts of the past cannot go with you. The pain of the past cannot go with you. The bitterness of the past cannot go with you. You've got to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Lift up your two hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've sanctified you by your word that has come forth today. I've set you apart. Therefore, Lord, I ask that that word will set your people apart from everything that is behind them and cause them to lay hold on what is before them. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. If that word has been a blessing to you, bless the Lord.